Good morning. It's great to see you this morning. Have you ever noticed in life that there's things all around us that need to be repaired? Have you ever noticed that? Like stuff gets broken, and I've got a great example for you. So just a moment. I'm going to come over here and get a great example for you. Okay, this is a bumper, by the way, to a 2006 Honda Accord that my family has owned about 10 years. I drove it the first 4 years, and we have three kids, and it all kind of worked through each kid. Each kid drove this car, and over the years, it got dinged up a little bit, different times. Things would happen to it. There'd be problems, and some of them we fixed, and some of them we didn't fix. Case in point, about 3 years ago, one of the kids was driving it, came home, came inside, it was night, and said, "I hit a fox." Not good news. As a matter of fact, you can see the damage on this side, the cracks and all that. It kind of took out the headlight, kind of busted up the headlight. And this bumper was hanging down like that, and obviously all the cracks. So what did I do? I went and got some clear tape, and I covered up the headlight so no water would get in there and blow the light out further. And I actually taped this to the car because it wouldn't stay there. So about 2 weeks later, same kid, not to be named, backed the car into a tree and took out the taillight on the passenger side. And guess what I did? I did that tape trick again. That's right. I went and got the tape, and I taped it up. So anyway, just a couple months ago, we decided, it's time to get rid of that car. We love it. It's like a family heirloom, but it's time to get rid of it. And so we put it out there, and guess what? Nobody was interested. Not even the people that drive in the Emmett County Fair, Crash Up Derby. Not even them wanted it. And so we decided that we need to fix it up. We need to fix it up in order to sell it. And so here's the concept I want you to grab today. To fix something up like that, it takes costly action, okay? It takes costly action. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it takes time and it takes effort. And so guess what? We ordered the parts, had to order a new bumper, had to get a headlight and a taillight, and that cost about $600. And then one of my sons and I, we put it in my garage and took it apart, and it was in there for over a month, by the way. Remember all those snowstorms we had in March? Yeah, I was parking outside. Not a very happy camper. And then, do you see these hands, these like baby on a bottom's butt hands that I have here? They got hurt. They got scratched up. I even got some grease under my nails, okay? But you know what? In the end, it was worth it. Okay, we're in a three-week series on relationships. And we're talking about resurrected relationships. We're talking about bringing life to relationships. We're talking about repairing that which is broken. And the focus is on Jesus, Jesus Christ. That's the focus. The focus is on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He died for our sins. He was buried, but then he rose again. And the main point we're trying to make in these talks is that the resurrection is not just history past, It is. It happened 2,000 years ago. It's a historical fact. But it's not just that. And the resurrection isn't just something that's going to happen to us someday if we are indeed in Jesus Christ. Resurrection is something that we can enjoy right now. In this day, in this time, we can bring life to relationships. We can bring life to relationships that need to be repaired. Now, think with me about the relationships that we have. Sometimes we have a high mileage relationship. You know what I'm talking about? It's like we keep traveling the same ground over and over again. Do you know what I'm talking about? It gets tiring. Or maybe you have a relationship where the engine light is on. It's saying there's a major problem, but everybody's clammed up. Nobody's talking about it. And the relationship is drifting further and further away. Or maybe, like this Accord, you've had some major collisions. It might have been at work. It may have been at church. Some major collisions. And there needs to be repair. Today I want to talk to you about costly action that brings life. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for my family. That's what I want for my church family. Costly action that brings life, that brings repair. Jesus brought resurrection. But before, this was pointed out well last week, but before Jesus Christ brought resurrection, he had to go through the cross. He had to suffer and die. And you and I, in order to bring life, we must go through the cross. We must suffer and die to bring repair, to bring life to relationships. And the big question is, are you willing to do that? Are you desiring to see repair happen in your life? Are you willing to follow after Jesus Christ and bring that to bear? It's a difficult journey, but it's a rewarding journey to bring life to relationships. To see something that's looking like that. I don't have a picture of the after. Still a little skittish about showing. Body work is not my thing. But, so here's our scripture for today. Would you please stand? This is found in John chapter 15, verses, just two verses here, verses 12 and 13. It'll be on the screen. It's found on page 1384 in the Journey Bible, if you'd like to follow there. What I'm going to do is, it's just these two verses. I'm going to read it, and then I want us to read it together. These are Jesus' words. These are red letters here. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. Please read it with. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. This is God's word. You can be seated. Last week in this series, Pastor Scott led us and we looked at humility. Humility, in my words, it's a mindset. It's the mindset of Christ. It's the mindset of Jesus Christ. It's a heart set. It's where your heart is. You could say it's an attitude. It's an attitude that you bring to relationships. It was said last week, humility is valuing the problems and challenges of others. We're going to look at sacrifice today. And sacrifice builds on humility. Sacrifice is action. You're doing something. It is active. And that's what that verse says. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And our definition for sacrifice comes straight from that verse. It'll be on the screen. Sacrifice is when you willingly lay down your life for a friend. Sacrifice is when you willingly, no one has to make you, no one has to force you, you want to, in the act of following after Christ, you want to lay down your life for a friend. Let me give you a little bit of history on sacrifice. The idea and practice of sacrifice is prominent throughout the Bible, and we don't have a lot of time. But I want to share just a couple quick things. If you're interested in the notes, you can text Genesis at that number, notes, and we'll send you a link back. And there's actually a link with a lot of more information on biblically where sacrifice comes from and a lot of other helpful things if you are interested. The very first sacrifice in the Bible happens in the very first book of the Bible, the third chapter in the book of Genesis. And the first sacrifice comes after Adam and Eve sinned. And it was an act of love, an act of grace by God, who provided animal skins to cover this first couple. Many other types and discussions of sacrifices are in the Bible. Particularly, if you're interested, read Exodus and Leviticus. I just did that in my personal time, and there's a lot in there, so we don't have time. But I want to point out one that is commanded, a sacrifice that is commanded of the Israelites in Exodus chapter 12, where the Israelites are commanded to sacrifice the lamb of the Passover. The Passover was a festival in ancient Israel and to this day. And in this passage, it presents three necessities in sacrifice. Let me just briefly walk through this. The Passover sacrifice. Number one, the necessity of blood. The blood was put on the doorposts, so the death angel went over the house that had the blood on the doorposts. And this just shows it was costly. It cost the lamb its life. Secondly, the lamb was slaughtered. They were to take one of their lambs, one without defect. It wasn't like, oh yeah, this one's easy, you know, this is a loser one, let's get rid of it. No, it was like, this is the best one. And it was slaughtered as a substitute for the people. And this shows costly action. Something happened in order to bring about sacrifice. And then lastly, the sacrifice rescued the people from divine judgment. And that brought life. That brought life. When we go to the New Testament, Christ is presented. This is a shadow of Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, Christ is presented as the sacrificial lamb. You might remember when John the Baptist sees Jesus Christ, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Hebrews 9:28, just one verse. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. In this verse here that really helps us to understand who Jesus Christ is, we see costly action that brings life. That's what sacrifice is. That's what Jesus is saying in John 15:13. He's saying, you are my friends, the disciples. You are my friends, and I am laying my life down for you. And I am calling you as a follower of Christ to do the same. What does it mean to lay down one's life? Does that mean we have to die, like physically? Well, let me give you another passage. This is a 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now look at this next passage. It sort of gives an example of what it means to lay down our lives. This is verse 17 and 18. If anyone has material possessions and see a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Take costly action to bring life to others. Take costly action by laying down your life for others. That's our main point today. So I want to point out three costly actions to bring life to others around you, to bring life to those relationships that you have, to repair what is broken. I want to talk about three costly actions to bring life to others. Now, a few weeks ago, I did a message and I talked about holding on. You might remember I had my Alan Trammell baseball. If you weren't here, I had a baseball talking about it's important to me and I hold on to it, hold on to it. The Bible tells us to hold on to things, to hold on to the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried for 3 days. He rose again and appeared. Those are things we hold on to. Today we're going kind of the other way. We're going to talk about things we need to let go of. There's certain things we need to hold on to. We need to hold on to the source of Christianity. We need to hold on to who Jesus is. But there's certain things that we're going to talk about today that we need to let go of. We need to let go of. And so let go of three things that take action. The number one, the first one here is this. Let go of your agenda. Let go of your agenda. Your agenda, those are your underlying motives and intentions. Sometimes they're not known. Sometimes they are known. Sometimes you make them known. Other times you kind of conceal those. But your agenda is basically what you want to do in any given situation. And it's not bad to have an agenda, but it is bad if you hold on to it too tightly. It's better if you hold it loosely, okay? So let me ask you a question. Do you do what is best for others, or do you normally do what is best for you? Do you normally do what is best for those around you, or do you normally do what is best for you? Now here's a situation. This could be roommates. This could be a spouse. This could be at work. You come into whatever situation and there's a pile of dishes in the sink. And you see that pile of dishes. And the first thought is, well, I did them the last 3 times. Or I'm tired. Or, you know, I have several things that I need to do right now. Whatever it is, but, you know, but then the thought occurs to you that if it's your roommate, she's in finals week right now. And it's an extremely stressful time. She's a nursing major and she's got all these cards she has to memorize and blah, blah, blah. And it's just a very stressful time. Or your spouse, it's like, oh, you know, the job is very demanding and they're in a quarter where they have to do all kinds of things and your spouse is putting in extra hours. You're home 2 hours early and your spouse is still working. You know, and so the thought occurs to you that, you know, if I washed these puppies up, it would be so encouraging to this other person. You know, it would be like a traveler in the desert getting a cup of cool water if I did these dishes. I'm going to be honest with you. Here's my inclination. Sometimes I keep score. Anybody with me? It's like, I did them last time. No way, Jose. I got other things to do. You know, I've had a busy day. I need rest from my day with people talking to me and me talking to them and all that kind of stuff and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, here's what Scripture says. 1 Corinthians 13:5, the love chapter says, love is not self-seeking. And right here, love does not keep score. Love does not keep score. No, let's not keep score. Do what is best for others instead of always what is best for you. Do what is best for others instead of what is best for you. Now, some of you here this morning, you're really struggling in your marriage. There's conflict in your marriage. It may be a high-mileage relationship. Again, you keep going around and around about certain things. They keep coming up, and you can't get past it. And it might be because of this. You believe in the 50-50 marriage. You ever heard of the 50-50 marriage before? Raise your hand if you heard of the 50-50 marriage. Like, you do 50% and I do 50%. That's the 50-50 marriage. And it's an attempt to for everybody to keep their agenda. That's what the attempt is. We all want to keep our agenda. So we're trying to figure out mathematically how to do that. Well, you do 50% and I'll do 50%. Then we can all keep our agenda. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's a myth. It's a highly held or widely held belief. A project called the Legacy Project shows, this is from Carl Pillemier, PhD, it'll be on the screen. You can't spend your time calculating 50% in, 50% back. The attitude has to be one of giving freely. And according to the elders, now the elders are the people that were in this study that had been married, I believe it was more than 30 years. They're the elders. They're the ones that could teach us something, you know, perhaps about marriage. And according to the elders, if you start keeping score, you're already in deep trouble. Maybe right now you're realizing, I'm in deep trouble because I'm keeping score. And the difference is, it's between, am I getting what I need out of this relationship? Or the life-giving approach, which is, what can I do for her to help her? What can I do for him to help him? We need to put down the adding machine and pick up the apron. To make that change in your marriage, you need a different vision. I want to talk about marriage for just a second. We need a different vision of marriage, of what marriage is. Look what Tim Keller, in his great book called The Meaning of Marriage, I highly recommend this book for understanding marriage. It's a biblical synthesis of what marriage is. It's an excellent book. Let me read this quote. Within the Christian vision of marriage, here's what it means to fall in love. It's to look at another person and get a glimpse of what God is creating and say, I see who God is making you, and it excites me. I want to be a part of that. I want to partner with you and God in the journey you are taking to His throne. And when we get there, I will look at your magnificence and say, I always knew you could be like this. I got a glimpse of it on earth, but now, look at you. What would happen in your marriage if you set aside your agenda and partnered with God's agenda? What would happen, my friends? That is the purpose of marriage. The purpose of marriage is to make you and I like Jesus Christ. It's to make us outward focused instead of inward focused. It's costly action to do this. It's costly action to set down your agenda. It's costly action to do what is best for your spouse instead of what's best for you. But here's the irony. When you focus on what is best for your spouse, you actually get what is best for you. Believe me, you get what is best for you, which is you become like Jesus Christ. And that's an amazing thing. Here's the second way to take costly action to bring life. Let go of your opinions. You ever find yourself emphatically trying to get your point across? You don't have to raise your hand. It might be a political discussion. Woo! Those can get white hot pretty fast, can't they? I have a neighbor and wow, I'm telling you, woo! Opinions flow, right? You get into a political discussion, it may turn into a fender bender, right? It might be an obstinate coworker who always wants to do something their way, but you're in charge. You're the boss. They need to do it the way you say, and it created a major collision, a major crash. Or here's one, a conversation with a young person who sees things differently than you. Have you ever noticed that happens occasionally? These young bucks, they see it, and young does, they see it a little bit differently than us old farts, I guess you might say. You ever notice that? Now, I have 3 adult children, and it's amazing how often generational differences will come up. It's just amazing to me. And sometimes I keep pounding my point. It's like a carpenter who's trying to put a wood stake in the ground, and it's like hard clay ground, or there's rocks in there. You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever done this before, and he's slamming it with a sledgehammer, and the thing is just breaking up. It's falling apart. Because I'm going to make this thing go in one way or another. And he just keeps pounding it. And sometimes I'm like that. I'm trying to win the battle, but I'm really losing. I'm really losing. We all start with opinions, every one of us. Whether we're young or old, we have opinions. Sometimes the old people have the opinion of the young people. They don't work hard, or they're self-focused, or they waste a lot of time. They don't have values, all those things, which are just opinions. And then sometimes young people have the opinions about older people that, you know, their ideas are passe, or their ideas are ineffective, or, and this might be true, plain boring. You know, sometimes our ideas are boring, aren't they? But to bring life to relationships, we need to switch gears. We need to stop trying to push and try to receive. Trying to push our opinions on people. And we need to stop. We need to stop. We need to, you know, sacrifice that, and we need to receive. James 1:19 gives real helpful skill set to this. James chapter 1, verse 19. The verse will be on the screen. It says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Try to live that one out, my friends. Isn't it great? It's a great skill set. Start with listening. Be slow to say something. And be slow to become angry. Seek first to understand instead of demanding to be understood. Can you try that? Seek first to understand, Stephen Covey, right? Instead of demanding to be understood. How do I do that? Let me give you a couple things to think about. First of all, you got to stop something. In order to do this, you have to stop starting off with assertions. When you're in a talk with a young person or your neighbor, whoever, stop starting with assertions. Assertions are confident and forceful statements of belief. I'm not saying don't have beliefs. I'm saying stop starting the conversation off with it. There's a time, there's a place for that. And then here's another one. Lean forward. Not like you want to fight, like, but just kind of, oh, non-verbally, what are you saying? You're saying what you have to say is important, and I want to hear it. I don't want to miss what you're saying. Okay? I'm setting aside my opinion because I want to hear what your opinion is. Wow. Nod your head. Not obnoxiously like I just did. Nod your head. It doesn't mean you're agreeing with everything. It doesn't mean you're agreeing with everything. You're just saying, I'm receiving what you're saying and I'm trying to understand. Okay, all right. Maybe some verbals in there. It's like this, receive the messenger. That doesn't mean you accept the message, but receive the messenger. And as a parent of adult kids, it's so important that they know we love them. That doesn't mean we agree with everything, but they know we love them. And then here's lastly, ask a lot of questions. Not interrogatively, not trying to show them they're wrong by your questions. No, you're trying to understand. So ask a lot of questions. Well, how does this work? And what do you think of that? And then rephrase what they say back to them. I think you're saying this. Is this right? I've noticed that when Brenda and I do this in our discussions, if you will, it's huge. If we can just say, hey, we're in discussion mode right now, like that means you don't give an opinion back, you listen, and then you rephrase back what the other person said until they say, yeah, that's right, you got it. That's it right there. It takes costly action to listen to understand. It's going to bring life, I'm going to tell you. It will bring life to your relationships. It will repair what is broken, what is cracked. Okay, let's go to the third one here. Let go of your pride. Let go of your pride. I've been reading a book by Gary Chapman. I want to talk about him for just a quick second. Gary Chapman wrote the book, The Five Love Languages. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. It's in the notes. The Five Love Languages is a great book to read to understand that different people receive love and give love in different ways. And it's really instructional to try to understand how the people close to you receive love so that you can then give them love in that way instead of the way you do it. So it's a great book. He's a very gifted author. I was reading another book, though, called Hope for the Separated. It's about marriages and separation. I want to learn more about that. And he says a quote in there that just really stuck out to me. I want to read it to you. We tend to look at ourselves through rose-colored glasses. Our faults do not seem very big to us. That just kind of stuck out to me. You know, we can really see the other person's faults. Like, you do this and you did that, right? But when we look, oh, well, it's just a little this and it's a little of that. Well, yeah, I complain a little bit, but it's not a big deal, right? And so it's very easy for us to have rose-colored, you know, glasses about it. And, you know, we don't see the light on the dashboard. We don't see that engine light is on and there's some major problem. Do not drive the car anymore. You're going to burn the engine up. You need to pull it over and have it repaired. What we need to do is we need to dig deep inside. Why am I doing that? Why am I acting this way? Okay, so so we get this car fixed up. That's the old bumper. It's going in the dumpster unless somebody wants it after church. We got it all up, fixed up, ready to sell, put it on Craigslist, and I got multiple inquiries. Incredible. All kinds of people. I happen to be, Wednesday is usually when I'm around my house a little bit working on stuff, and so I was able to spend a few hours like letting people test drive it. People liked it. Whew, it's good. And, then one guy says, I'll take it. He doesn't even try to negotiate. He just lays the money out. It's like, this is outstanding. And he's just getting ready to drive away. And my wife says, did you get a picture of the signed title? And I was like, no. Now, this is a legitimate question, okay? Because it happened before, a previous car that we sold. And also on this title, she had a little sticky note on it. Let me read exactly what it said. Norman, please make sure you take a picture of the title once it's signed. And I just took it off and flipped it away, signed that puppy, and got the money. That's all I was caring about. So anyway, as the car's driving away, she's like, did you get a picture? And I got immediately angry. I was like, are you serious? I worked on this car for 2 months. I finally get it up, and in one day, I sell that thing for the price we were asking for it. And I was just like, you're criticizing me and all this stuff. And it was just, I was way out of line. I was way out of line. And so I went and did something, and she went, and then an hour later, so we went on a walk, and I had to apologize. I was like, I was out of line. I was wrong. And I called you critical, and that was wrong. And then I said this, and because there's something in me that's not right. When she asks me a question and I respond that way. And so we talked about that. We were both able to express our feelings and acknowledge our feelings. And we experienced forgiveness, which we're going to talk about next week. Forgiveness, please come for that next week. And then we were able to start over fresh. But so here's the point. We need to spell out our faults instead of playing the blame game. We need to spell out our faults to other people instead of protecting our pride. And when that happens, it's amazing what's possible. That you can actually move forward and move on to other things as you really deal with it. What about you? Are you a slave to your hostile emotions and your negative attitude? King David said this few thousand years ago, maybe 3,000 years ago in Psalm 51. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. Do you believe that? That is one of the most healing things that we can do in a relationship, is spell out our faults, set aside our pride, and not play the blame game. Okay? It takes action it takes costly action to fix cars. And some of you do it for a living, and you're really good at it, and I'm not. I did not want to do it. I did not want to get this car tore apart. I just wanted to tape it up and send it on to the next person. I don't like grease under my fingernails, but I'm going to tell you, it was worth it. It really was. I spent some time with one of my sons working on the project. We got it together. It didn't hurt that bad. It did hurt, though. I just want you to know that. It takes costly action to bring life to relationships. Are you willing to do it? I have a sense in this room, we have a room full of people watching, thank you for watching, and there's hurts that we need to address. And so I want to talk about next steps. Zach is going to come up. We're going to just have a reflection song at the very end. But here's the first one. There's just two basic questions for next steps. Like, how do I apply this to my life? Who is on your heart right now? Who is on your heart right now? That may be the Holy Spirit telling you something that you need to do. And I don't know what it is. Only you can know that. So who do you need to bring life to? What relationship do you need to repair? If you're a follower of Christ, you're called to this. You're called to walk the way of the cross so that resurrection can happen. Do you believe that? Do you know that? It's in your court. Secondly, what costly action do you need to take this week? What do you need to do? Remember, sacrifice is about doing something. What costly action do you need to take? Would you please stand up right now? We're going to sing this song. We're no longer slaves, but we're free. And so let's just sing this song in reflection and let the Holy Spirit really direct our path for this week.